Chapter 3. Those strange Oblodrin creatures. Jarlaxle found himself at a loss as he tried to figure out who might have instigated the conflict the previous night. The first question in such situations was always, of course, along the lines of who would benefit. But in Menzo Berenzon, where everyone was always looking for some way to gain, such a question only rarely narrowed the list of suspects. In this case, Jarlaxle's list included some of his most important associates, a distinguished matron of one of the oldest and most respected ruling houses in the city, and even the principals involved in the fight, both of them. He wasn't going to solve this before the contest, but getting to the bottom of it might be the only way for him to keep two valued associates alive. "I would ask what you are thinking, but if I wanted to know, I would already be in your thoughts," came a voice that brought the mercenary leader from his contemplations. He turned to view a diminutive drow, a tiny woman who terrified Jarlaxle, perhaps more than any other drow in the city, including the great and powerful matron Mother Bayenri herself. "Greetings, Matron Curel," he responded, trying to collect himself and trying to steel himself against the strange mental intrusions for which Curel and her house Oblodru were famous. They were psionicists, mind wizards, not unlike the terrifying race of Illithids, which were, quite appropriately, also known as mind flayers. Secretly, Oblodra was a most hated house in the city, Jarlaxle knew, but no one would dare go against them, not even House Bayenri. Curel grinned. She always wore that superior smirk. "I warned you when I allowed you to build your complex here in the Claw Rift that I would visit," she said. Something she always brought up on those occasions when she simply showed up in the mostly natural corridors of the Bregendierth home. "Collecting kobold servants?" Jarlaxle asked. "Perhaps." "Seeking my services, then," Jarlaxle stated, regaining a bit of his swagger. "Not as long as you wear that eye patch," the matron bluntly stated. "I do business with no one who hides his thoughts from me."
"We've done business before, great lady."
Curel grinned again, and Jarlaxle felt a compulsion to remove his eye patch. His hand reflexively lifted it. He almost did it, catching himself only at the last moment. Her laughter mocked him. The too clever matron was finding her way through his magical defenses, he knew. "Fear not, Jarlaxle Bayenri," she said, and the mercenary winced at having his proper surname whispered aloud. Few knew the truth of Jarlaxle's heritage, or that the sacrifice of Matron Mother Bayenri's third-born son, which tradition dictated, had been a farce foiled by the strange magical mind powers of this very same Curel Odrin.
"I find you useful and quite a valuable plaything," Curel continued. "You have nothing to fear from me, as long as you remain outside of the goings-on in Menzo Berenzon. Jarlaxle knows everything that is happening in the city, so they say, and that includes knowing when to keep himself out of business that does not concern him."
"I do try, matron."
"When I can confirm that with your thoughts and not merely your words, I will believe you."
Jarlaxle held up his hands and shrugged.
"Soon, then?"
"Sooner than you believe," Curel replied.
Jarlaxle flashed his own smile, that wide grin conveying too much joy and light for the dark shadows of Menzo Berenzon.
"I must be away," Curel said. "I came for other reasons, but thought it would be impolite to not pay a visit to the patron of this cavernous household."
"You came to prove that you could walk through my room's newest defenses," Jarlaxle thought, but did not say, and he hoped his eye patch had blocked her from hearing that.
Curel's form began to flicker weirdly, but Jarlaxle had seen this before and was not surprised. Then she was simply gone, disappeared, and Jarlaxle wondered if she had actually been standing before him or not. With any other drow, he might have shifted his magical eye patch to the other eye, that it would grant him an enchantment of true seeing. But he didn't dare remove his protections from psionic intrusion with Curel about.
as if he didn't have enough to think about already. Now he had to try to discern why Matron Oblodra had come here this day. He had a suspicion, one that led him to believe that Curel might not be the only member of House Oblodra to have come down into the Claw Rift from the house above.
"I can anticipate your every desire," Quaveline Oblodra, Curel's oldest and most important daughter, told Arathis Hewn as she lay atop him, the pair bathed in sweat. "I know just what you want. I know just how you feel. And so I can feel that way with you. That is why I like to share your bed."
She then answered, before Arathis Hewn could ask the question that came to him,
"Because you are so careful and guarded, it must be exhausting to hide from everyone. But with me you cannot hide, and so your pleasure comes forth like a giant lake being released from pressing cavern walls. It is a ride I do so enjoy."
With the revelation that the woman, who was skilled in the divine magic of Loth and also in the ways of Oblodran mind magic, was in his thoughts, Arathis Hewn determinedly sought a mental distraction. He settled on something that he had always wondered about anyway.
"Because we do," Quaveline answered his unspoken question. "Odrin and Oblodran are the same surname from a common source. Some, like the matron, use Odrin, which was the name before our family formally accepted the Spider Queen as our deity, because that brags of her near indifference to the religious order of the city and the Spider Queen herself."
"You are the first priestess of House Oblodra," Arathis Hewn reasoned. "A priestess of Loth, so Odrin would not do for that role."
"Yes. Perhaps when I am the matron, I will change my name to Odrin."
"You are a priestess, a first priestess of a major house, yet do not seem so devout," he dared to say. "Doesn't that anger Loth?"
Quaveline smiled and kissed him on his bare chest. "Oblodra is not a young house, and Matron Curel Oldrin, certainly no devout priestess of the Spider Queen, has ruled it for 2 centuries. None doubt that we will soon climb to a seat on the ruling council. The only question remaining is which house we will replace. Lady Loth approves of us and the doubt and chaos we can bring to her city, it would seem." Arathis Hewn couldn't disagree with that. He loved sharing Quaveline's bed, but couldn't deny that she always had him nervous and off balance. How could she not, when she was so often in his very thoughts? Yet this strange mind magic might prove very useful to him someday, perhaps soon. And as he had noted, there were delightful perks. Quaveline smiled as he thought about both things, and he didn't need to be a psionicist to recognize that she was entertaining a similar possibility, that the arrangement could prove even more mutually beneficial.
"The field is ready?" Jarlaxle asked Arasith Hewn as the pair exited the Claw Rift later that day. "The betting has already begun," Jarlaxle nodded.
"Spread as much gold as you can, but quietly and in small bits. Let us not draw too much attention."
"On?" Jarlaxle skidded to a stop and whirled on his companion, his face reflecting his shock. "The blood in that tavern skirmish before the healing wave closed the wounds was Zachnephane's," Arathis Hewn reminded him.
"It was not a severe wound, a clipped hand from a near-perfect parry and nothing more."
"Blood is blood."
"On Zachnephane," Jarlaxle said, to which Arathis Hewn simply shrugged.
"You know the identity of his opponent, yes?" Jarlaxle asked.
"I think him more than a street rogue."
"Yes, perhaps one sent to get in a fight with Zachnephane."
Arathis Hewn nodded. The thought had indeed crossed his mind. Zachnephane was well known in the Brehren, and few would dare challenge the weapon master unbidden.
"It was our former associate, Duvan Trerach," Jarlaxle told him.
"The weapon master of House Fae Branch? Why would Matron Beirton—" He stopped as the answer came to him. Matron Beirton would certainly be happy with wounding the ambitious and climbing House Doerden, and really, even 100 years later, D
Did Duvon Trayrock need a reason to try to kill the man who had almost single-handedly brought his family to ruin?
"He is more formidable than I remember," he said.
"Fine armor, fine weapons, fine training and powerful enchantments will do that," Jarlaxle answered dryly. "How did he know that Zacnafane would be in the tavern that particular night?"
"A good question. Who sent word of the arrival of our dear friend?"
"Dabney?
Maybe. But Zacnafane was a bit off his game that night," said Jarlaxle. "A bit too much fungus in his drink, I believe."
"So Harbendare?"
"Both.
And others, perhaps?" Arathisun said in a sly tone, hinting that he might suspect that Jarlaxle might suspect him. But Jarlaxle shrugged as if it did not matter.
"It is the city of spiders," Jarlaxle said. "Creatures who are known to kill after mating. Creatures who capture and torture victims to slow death. If Zacnafane cannot keep his guard appropriately high, he will be killed. For all of us, I say, that is the way."
Arathisun conceded the point.
"I am off to visit a matron," Jarlaxle went on. "You will go to the Oozing Mike Conid to check on the proceedings and begin shuffling the wagers. Keep it under 200 gold pieces this night and no wager more than 5 at a time."
"And a third of that more visibly wagered on the opponent?" Arathisun knew well the tactic. Quiet bets on the one Jarlaxle believed would win, louder bets on the presumed loser. Arathisun mused that perhaps he would take some of those louder bets himself. He had too much to gain here to let this fortunate turn of events slip past. He had quietly built up enough associates to secretly filter the countering money anonymously, even from Jarlaxle. For all of Jarlaxle's scheming, there would be a lot of gold wagered on Zacnafane de Werden in a battle against an unknown opponent, and perhaps even more among those who had figured out that the drow in question was Avinvesa Fay Branch, formerly Duvon Trayrock. In a fair fight, the wager would be obvious. This, however, would not be a fair fight. Arathisun decided to make it less fair still. The opportunity to garner a small treasure shined too brightly, and even better, perhaps Arathis would be rid of Zacnafane once and for all. Someone had tried to poison Zacnafane in the Oozing Mike Conid, not to kill him, but to slow him so that Duvon could do the deed. That had failed, of course it had failed, and it was a stupid attempt in the first place. Zacnafane was a true master of his craft as a warrior. How many hundreds of times had he poisoned himself in order to render his body immune to such parlor tricks? No, poison wouldn't work on Zacnafane, nor would spells thrown secretly into the ring to defeat him. But Arathisun thought of Quaveline O'Blodra and wondered if he might have found an undetectable and effective way through the weapon master's precautions.